When Pope Pius XI began his reign early on in the 20th century, one of his concerns was how the world had been ravaged by war and error and things like that that was going around, and that everyone was praying for and working toward peace because World War I had come through. There was still worries about war and strife, real civil things that are taking place all over the world. And as the universal teacher for all mankind, for all Christians, the concern is not just for one area or one country, but for all men. It's the prayer desire that he had for peace and the working toward peace. And he pointed out from the beginning of his reign that peace will not come just by the points of politics. Peace, the lack of peace, usually comes in every way because of the disturbance that takes place among men. Our Lady of Fatima said that war is a result of the sins of mankind. The disorder that comes in man's life through sin, that disorder is translated in the public social life by wars and strife among men. If we want peace, we have to return to God, Our Lady said in 1917. And by praying the rosary for peace is what we do. And that's, again, the efforts that we make each Wednesday in praying for world peace. But in 1925, Pope Pius XI continued on with those thoughts of peace. And he instituted the Feast of Christ the King so that everywhere throughout the Catholic world, we can all remind ourselves of the importance of acknowledging Christ as King. Yes, you know, as we read in the Catechism and other devotional books, that because Christ came on earth and conquered over the devil and died for us, he is King, King over the entire world. He's King over all of us because of the religion, our faith in him. But we also need a kingship of him in us individually. It's not just to look upon his kingdom in heaven or kingship in heaven or over the earth and of all creatures, but also individually how he is King over us. Pope Pius XI was saying that he was instituting this Feast of Christ the King to be established everywhere in the entire world on the last Sunday of October, specifically for this point of bringing peace. That the more people will bring themselves under the reign of Christ and recognize that his rule as King is a gentle dominion. He is not a dictator. He is not the one who is demanding things of us. Yes, there are commandments. But commandments are in the lives of everyone, and these commandments are there to keep our life in proper order. If we follow them, live and love God as we should, in that way live under the reign of Christ as King, you and I will have peace. And we can take that point of peace to others as well. It's the whole idea here, the whole idea behind this notion of having of peace and gaining of peace by this establishment of the Feast of Christ the King. In fact, this is something that he wrote. He says, "We remember saying that these manifold evils in the world were due to the fact that the majority of men had thrust Jesus Christ and his holy law out of their lives, that these had no place either in private affairs or in politics. And we say further, that as long as individuals and states refuse to submit to the rule of our Savior, there will be no reality, real hopefulness and a lasting prospect of peace among nations." As long as Christ is not acknowledged as King, there's no lasting hope for peace because peace is found in God alone. It can't rest in politics. Gosh, if anything, we understand right now, in a couple of days, we're having elections again. And if we want to say that there's peacefulness that comes in the points of politics, you've got the whole idea wrong. Just because we elect one particular person, this idea is supposed to now all of a sudden bring order and peace to our entire country. If you think that, you're deluded, because there's more to it than just points of politics. It has everything to do with the works that we must suffer under God. Yes, we still have our obligations to vote, and we should follow those particular points. But I'm saying, not saying encouraging people not to vote, I'm encouraging the otherwise. But the idea here, if we just put all of our hope just in politics for peace to come to the world, it will not happen. It will not happen. Because peace is largely coming upon, or lack of peace among men, is a supernatural reason. People following the world and the evils of the world. The devil himself is in the midst of all these things. And so, recognizing the supernatural source, if you will, of where evil is coming from, it's going to take a supernatural source for evil to disappear. And that's by acknowledging Christ as King and living that way in our lives. Acknowledge him as King over my life, not just in heaven, not over earth or the church or all these particular things, but in my life, too, he is King. In my life, I let him reign. In my life, he makes the decisions for me. In my life, I make it real. I don't just say, Lord and Master and King, hallelujah. But I really believe that. And so everything that I do is going to be affected by what it is that Jesus Christ teaches me, how he inspires me, how Mary as my queen leads me closer to her son, so that together they accomplish that reign in my soul, and through that reign in my family, when I go to school, among in work, or among friends, or whatever. Christ reigns here, first and foremost. Every action I do is based upon that kingship of Christ in my life. I live by no other ruler in that way. And even if people laugh at me and put me to scorn as a result of that, I lose some friends. Understand, they may not have been good friends anyway. Everything follows if I live according to Christ as King. And through that comes peace in my heart. And then if I can find that peace in my heart, then I can start to bring it to other people. If people don't have peace in their life, then I can say, hey, look, come here, follow me. This is how I have found peace. This is what you need to do. Make Christ the center of your life, of your family, of everything you do, so that you truly acknowledge him there. That's the whole idea of the enthronement, but that's a whole different subject. But the idea there is that I acknowledge Christ every day in my prayers and my works, the things that I do. Christ is King, and he lives that way. And through that is my source of peace. But this whole recommendation of the Pope in establishing this feast day, in many cases, has fallen on deaf ears. The establishment of Christ and recognition of him as the one and the source of peace is just disappearing so much. In the realm of politics, look at when the European Communion was established a few years back, and they wrote up their constitution. Any acknowledgement of Christianity and Catholicism in the history of Europe, bringing to the point of civilization, is gone. There is no mention of it at all. This is a secular society they're proclaiming, and they're going to work for peace according to their own secular principles. If you look at what's going on in the European Union right now, it's failing miserably in the point of peace because it rejected Christ as King, rejected the source of peace in civilization. Learn from that lesson, if no other. See that if we reject Christ, if we don't bring him in as King and live that way, then we bring the worst of things upon ourselves. When Pope Pius XI established the Feast of Christ the King, he had a scenario in mind to teach us what he wants us to understand, his vision, so to speak, of what to be able to work with and to understand about what the kingship of Christ means. And he wanted it to be at the end of October, last Sunday of October, to be able to bring to us these thoughts. Christ reigns in heaven, and he rules over earth. Who are we, the church militant? And then on November 1st, we have All Saints Day. Christ rules over the church triumphant. November 2nd, we have All Souls Day, the church suffering, and Christ rules over them. The exact scenario that we have this year, today, Christ the King, tomorrow, All Saints, the next day, All Souls, is what the Pope had in mind. Doesn't happen every year like this, but this is exactly what the Pope had in mind, a continuing thought and devotion that comes up regarding the Feast of the Kingship of Christ and why he put it at the end of October. Well, then now we come to the modern church at Vatican II. They made their own calendar, mixed up all the saints, kind of jumbled them around. It's almost like a Scrabble board. You know, just mix up all things and see if it fits here and now, even though it was no longer the traditional placing for many of the saints that were there. Among the changes they made was the Feast of Christ the King. Christ the King had only been established 40 years. The Pope established in 1925. The new calendar came around in 1964. 40 years it had been there. There was no respect for it, nothing of that particular nature, just they're going to change it. They moved it to the last Sunday of the church year before Advent. And I think, well, so? What's that matter? It matters greatly. The Pope had in mind what he wanted all of us to be thinking of and praying for with it at the end of October, November 1st and November 2nd. So we see that Christ reigns over all. By moving it to the end of the church year, their thoughts, and they change all their old things, but is that Christ is going to come as King at the end of the world, and we're going to reign with him and come up with him to heaven after that. That the fact that he reigns now disappears from that notion. What also disappears is the traditional thought that comes from the gospel of the last Sunday after Pentecost to keep us thinking about the four last things of death, judgment, heaven, and hell. The gospel presents that story to us. It's there. It's clear. But by losing that completely and putting the feast of their feast of Christ the King, it completely changes the whole spirit of it. And so people don't have to think about suffering and everybody goes to heaven now. No worries about things at that point. Because we'll all be with Christ as King when he comes to take us to heaven. Hallelujah. Boy, it is a change. And by changing that, it changes the notion of the kingdom of Christ on this earth. And when the kingdom of Christ is changed on this earth, then peace will not come. Another part of the changes that come up is the spirit of the world itself. We've seen what I talked about, the European Union. Satanism is on the rise. More so than there. In my lifetime, I've just watched Satanism become, through various sources, more and more acceptable, publicly acceptable in every way, through Wicca, through the Satanist teachings and the horror movies, and that through all those particular things, weakening our understanding of the true evil of the devil, not just something horrible and causes heads to spin around at exorcisms, but far more than that, what he changes in the lives of men. And yet it's on the rise. And as it rises more, and the world, the spirit of the world rises more, then the kingdom of Christ becomes harder and harder to be observed among men. There will be no peace as long as those things happen. And even among faithful Catholics, too. We say that we're here working to keep alive the church because of the changes that come in Vatican II. We're trying to keep alive the traditions until God brings to us a way to bring us out of this crisis that's here. And yet there are some, I don't know if it's just compromising with the way the world has things and when I have an easier life or whatever, but some after a period of time say, oh, you know, it's the spirit of the times for us right now. You know, things were too strict before. We have to be more free. We've got to be able to express ourselves more. The church had too many laws and things like that. Spirit of the times. Canon law doesn't apply anymore. We live in these different times. The former rules were too strict. We can adjust them and not observe them altogether. Who gave us that authority to make those kind of changes? None. While there's no peace amongst us, it's because all these things are changing. They're trying to change the very kingdom of Christ as it has been. And now according to a utilitarianism idea, that I'm going to do it because it's easier for me. And then the church, well, she's going to have to change because it's the spirit of the times. You know, under the reign of Pope Pius IX, he established what was called the Syllabus of Errors. 80 propositions that were condemned. You read them, you understand they're condemned. Number 80, the last one, it says that the Pope should keep up with the spirit of the times. It's condemned. Not that we don't keep up with technology and things like that help us to advance the gospel. But when the spirit of times comes along and says, I can relax the point, I can change points of morals, because you know, after all, we find out here that in the moral understandings, maybe the church was strict before, but now we see that certain things that were definitely considered as sinful before aren't now. And why? Because behavioral psychologists, all that, understand man better today, and therefore these are the things here. We'll change doctrine too along the way. Change Catholic practice and other things. All in the name of Catholicism for our times, because it is the spirit of the times. And yet, in 1869, that proposition, that idea was condemned. Until all of us get back on track, establishing the Christ of King, there will be no peace, there'll be no direction toward getting out of this crisis here. That's this whole notion. The Pope gives us this understanding with this feast day, how to achieve peace, how to achieve unity, how to achieve success against the enemies of our time. It's by living and working under the reign of Christ the King. Today, when we pray the prayer after Mass, that prayer says, be thou king. Make that prayer yours. Three times we're going to say that. Be thou king. Dear Jesus, be thou king in me. Mary, come. Be that queen within me. Help me. Make me strong. Help me be convinced that working and accomplishing the reign of Christ the King in my life and whatever I can do to help it to reign in the lives of others is absolutely important. It's my mission as a Catholic to bring that to myself and to others. Help me, give me strength today on this feast of Christ the King to dedicate myself, my life, to live under his banner, to be his servant, to be the child of God I should. I encourage you, those inspirations and more, please make them yours as we continue with this feast day, so that more and more you will find peace, and through that, the world will too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.